The first, I want to apologize that the title actually doesn't quite reflect the main result of the talk. It's just a starting point of the talk. I forgot why I sent such a title. I'm sorry about that. But the abstract still works. Okay, so the first part of the talk is triangulations of eigencurves. So actually the triangulation of the Galois representations over the eigencurves. So first, let me remind you the classical theorem of Kissin. So one of his theorem. So suppose that F is a periodic finite slope over convergent cuspidal eigen 4 and with UP eigenvalue UPF equal to alpha F, so with UP eigenvalue alpha, so then you have some special property about the decrease of this representation associated to this F, the decrease plus so rho F, so phi equal to alpha, is non-zero. And actually, conjecture should be just one-dimensional. Okay, then, so by Borges, so classical comparison theorem, okay, so so the theorem is the decrease plus of any periodic representation V, okay, which is equal to dagger V, so gamma invariant, so gamma, not P. Okay? Okay, then by this Borges result and the Kissin's theorem, am I wrong? Okay, yeah. So this implies, I'll put it two things together, so we have that little F is triangulating. Okay, so in the sense of commutes, so triangulating just means the associated phi gamma module has a filtration of phi gamma submodules, and such that each graded pieces is just a rank one submodule, a rank one phi gamma module. Okay, so actually, the Kissin result you have the non-zero crystalline periods. You take any periods, non-zero, so this generates a rank one submodule of Dirac of this representation. And I take a saturation. Actually, for almost all the points, you do not need to take the saturation because it's already generated. It already generates a saturated rank one submodule. All right. So, so our goal. So, this main result of first part is just try to prove some family version of Kissin's result. Okay, so to prove family version, we mean we prove something over the eigencurve. So let's see the eigencurve. Okay, let's show you the two. So absolutely irreducible. So global representation, rho bar, GQ, 2, GL2, FP bar, okay? For such a regular representation, you have an eigencurve. And furthermore, you have a family of galore representations over this icon curl, locally free. So rank 2, so GQ representation. Over C, so interpolating all of this row F. Okay, then for a family of periodic representations, we can still associate with Fuga modules, so that by the result of Bourget Hermes. So this VC, okay, of course we restrict on the GQP, then can associate Eric VC. So actually this is a sheaf of Fuga modules. It's not so difficult to sheafify Bourget and Hermes construction. Okay, so this is locally free rank 2, so over the rubber ring with coefficients. So this is Birik, QP, Dagger, and the complete tensor product with the structure sheaf of the eigen curve. Okay, then the phi gamma counterpart of the decrease plus that produces the result, this is just Dirac Dagger and the gamma invariant. So we define the delta, this is a character from QP cross to the global invertible function such that the delta is trivial. GP cross, is anything wrong? Oh, C, yeah. Okay, and so delta D is alpha, so just the UP eigenvalue. Also here, alpha is a function, the function of UP eigenvalue on the eigen curve, and from that alpha is a number. So this method I'm teaching calculus in Michigan, I think some of my students is confusing about difference about functions, numbers. I think there shouldn't be problem here. I mean, I know that. But I think I should be careful about this because I'm very good at using a bad notation. I'm sorry about this. Okay, and Mann's theorem. So this Dirac Dagger VC, delta, so this is actually just Dirac Dagger VC phi equal to alpha, so gamma equals 1, okay? Yeah, I just use this to simplify this notation. Forms a cohesion sheaf on this eigen curve C, and gives rise to a triangulation of this family of Fuga modules, Dirac Dagger VC. So it is pointed by, I think it's first pointed by Balazs and Chinavy, hey, that we cannot have a global triangulation. So the bad thing we can expect that, so we have a triangulation of this Fuga module on a scheme theoretically dense. Subside of the curve C. So here, scheme theoretically dense just means for any affine subdomain of this curve, you have only finite points which is away from the triangulation locus. And furthermore, we have an explicit description of the triangulation locus. Sorry? Because I will really give you an explicit description later. Yeah, I just give you the rough form about the theorem at the moment. Okay. Okay. All right. And we also have a higher dimensional analog. I hope I have time to talk about this later, in this talk. Okay. So this statement of our main theorem. Okay, the second, I want to give you a very sketch of the proof, the idea of the proof.
I'm sorry, when you write this, delta is not the proof, but it varies over c, though.
Yes, delta is not constant, yeah. It's not constant, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to say that. This is actually a general result. I mean, this is proved by Resnick, proved by Candelaria, Pohas, and Shell that for general family of Fickard modules, if you take this like delta part of this Fickard module, you automatically get a coefficient sheaf. But here the point is that this sheaf actually gives you a triangulation. Okay, so idea of the proof. So this sheaf should be just interpolates all the Christian periods given by Kissin's theorem. Okay, so the most natural idea is just to try to interpolate the crystalline periods. But actually, instead of interpolate the Christian periods, we interpret another thing. So the key observation is like this. So suppose if you consider the point, say, rho f is crystalline. With how to take with 0k. Okay, and the valuation of this UP eigen value is strictly between 0 and k. Okay. Then we consider this natural morphism, so decrease plus rho f equal alpha. Okay, then maps to, so here rho f tensor with BDR plus divided by T to the K. Let's take a GQP invariant. So this is actually an isomorphism. The reason is because the weight is 0 and k, so this part actually doesn't contain a few k. This is just one-dimensional. This is also one-dimensional. By this condition, you see that this crystalline period really doesn't in this few k. Okay, then you have this isomorphism. Okay, and this kind of point actually, the rho f, which is satisfied this condition, you have a lot of these points on the Eigen curve. So they form a Zariski-Dance subset. And even better, for any classical point, this kind of points accumulates at this classical point. The reason is the periodic evaluation of the UP eigenvalue is bounded on this affine subdomain. But this weight doesn't bound, right? Zero is strictly less. Yeah. Yes. Isn't it? Sorry? Ordinary. Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can just skip ordinary locus. I mean, although it's... Thank you. Okay. Okay, the key point is we interpolate this isomorphism, which I call star. So we interpolate star over the eigencurve. Okay, then the key proposition we want to prove is for any of a noise subdomain so MS, which is spectral of this of a noise algebra S of C. So suppose you have integer k, which is bigger than the log p. So this norm means the spectral norm of this alpha inverse on MS. Okay, then you have. Now we consider the analog of this map, but we use Figaro modules. Okay, then. So this Dirac dagger, we see delta, okay, is exactly the analog of this left hand side. So maps to the DDF dagger ES. So actually, this is true for any n, TK, gamma. Okay, so this is also the analog of right hand side by the work of Fontaine. Excuse me? Oh, yes, yes. Right. Okay, this is an isomorphism. Okay. And as a first consequence, you said once you have this, then this becomes a sheaf because this is actually a coherent module. So if you take gamma invariance, you also get a coherent sheaf. Okay, but. No sufficiently large. Any. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not always defined.
Oh, you mean the n? Oh, you mean for an n? Okay, oh, no. Once n is defined, you have the sum of. Yeah. I'm sorry, I thought you were saying you were saying s. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, so nice thing that you have a equality bound. So this term is just a kind of the valuation of this norm on this affinity domain. So this is exactly family version of SLA. Okay, so we want to prove this for any of a noise subdomain. So so you have eigencurve here. I mean, it doesn't like a curve, but okay, you now have a classical point like this, and it's relatively easy to treat the phenoid which has a classical point, okay, because the classical point has good property, then you can somehow control this module on the phenoid domain. But the property, the difficulty is that you have many phenoid subdomain which doesn't have any classical point, so we have no control about this map. Of course, to prove this, we need to use the information from other classical points to get an isomorphism on this phenoid which doesn't have any classical point. Okay, and it's natural. The natural idea is that maybe we can play some commodule game to do that. But it seems difficult for me to do that, because you see that this periodic valuation of the UP eigenvalue is unbounded on the eigencurve. So we don't have a single k which is bigger than all of this. So we don't have a single condition which imply everything we want to prove. So at least to prove this proposition, I don't know any direct proof. So that's the reason we need some kind of indirect way to prove this proposition. Okay. So I just sketched the proof, the strategy. I want to stress that all of the strategy actually already in Kissing's paper, explicitly or implicitly, I mean. Yeah. But I found it's not easy to understand his paper. I spent a lot of time to. Yeah. Okay, anyway. The first step is to show that for any family of periodic representation, which I call VS over MS. So if the integer k satisfies that condition, it's bigger than the log p of our inverse, then there exists a unique maximal for Zariski closed subspace, which I call MS prime, such that you have this isomorphism once you restrict the representation on this subspace. So roughly speaking, that condition star cut out a unique maximal Zariski closed subspace. Okay. And once you can prove this, the strategy is we glue all of this closed subspace. If I can glue, we get a Zariski closed subspace of the eigencurve. And the way we construct this closed subspace guarantees that we really have this isomorphism everywhere over this subspace, closed subspace. So we only need to show that this closed subspace is just the eigencurve itself. And I just, as I said earlier, for classical points, it's relatively easy to prove this isomorphism. So we can prove that classical point actually in this closed subspace. Okay, because classical points is dense, to get that this subspace is just eigencurve itself. So this is just this indirect strategy. So there are two difficulties. First, to prove this. And second one is to glue all of this closed subspace. I mean, it's not obvious that we can glue all of this, because for different finite p's, we have different conditions to control. So it's not clear, it's not a priori clear that we can really glue on their overlap. Okay. So the first step. No, just the Zariski closed subspace of MS. Of MS. Oh, yes, but you divide this finite algebra by any idea, you can get a finite algebra. Of MS. Yeah, maybe this is not a good notation, but I just means as modulo any ideal, we'll consider corresponding spectrum. So this is a closed subspace. It's okay? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, as I said, I'm very good at using bad notations. Okay, the first technical property is to prove this, step one. So I won't give the detail because this is a little bit involved. So my original strategy to prove this is just to use the fact that this Figa module coming from Galois representations, right? So and this Galois representation, the forbiddance acts on the Galois representation trivially. So I reduce I just reduce to prove something about the period ring, the period ring of Figa modules. Then I use some very, very big rings to do this. So this is some family version of Kandalaya's Yucatani rubber ring. So this ring is very big. It contains all of the period rings of Figa modules, and it has no Galois action. Although it has no Galois action, it's very good. This ring is very good to solve some forbiddance equation. Okay, then I can use that to do this. Okay, so here I just made some key improvement of Kissen's original work. I think Kissen did is somehow prove this for just a so-called wide small phenoid subdomain. But here we can prove this for any phenoid subdomain. But just recently I realized we have some simpler way to prove this. So I remember that in my thesis, I introduced the notion of cohomology of torsion Figa modules, which is largely inspired by computation of commits on the rank one case. And it is a shame that I just recently realized that we can use the cohomology of torsion Figa module to address this isomorphism. So this isomorphism actually just equivalent to this D-rig. Yes, prime zeta maps to module TK. Okay, so this is just kind of the twisted zero cohomology of Figa modules and torsion Figa modules. And for this, actually, you can use the recent result of Kandalaya, Pohas, and Xiao on the Iwasawa cohomology of families of Figa modules. You can give us a simpler proof. And actually, you can prove this kind of thing for general family of Figa modules, not just the ones coming from Galois representation. Okay, yeah. So this is step one. And step two, so gluing. Okay, again, so I just give some very rough idea. The problem is you want to glue, but you see that the conditions not naturally coincide on overlaps. Okay, then here we use the notion of Kissen's finite slope subspace. So I will not write down the Lansky definition of his finite slope subspace, but do remember that you have two conditions. And if you impose the first technical condition, the point is that if you impose some technical condition, then this isomorphism actually becomes okay, this isomorphism for OK, just becomes some single universal property. Okay, you have infinite many conditions to control for every k which is bigger than the periodic evaluation of the UP eigenvalue. But if you impose some technical condition, which is Milakity, I mean this eigen curve satisfies this technical condition. Okay, now all of these conditions can be encoded as a single universal property. Okay, then can glue because the universal property, is clear to glue. Okay, so gluing using a Figa module analog of Kissen's finite subspace setup. Okay, and then step three is to show that the classical points belong to this closed subspace. Okay, then we are done. Okay, so I think I want to stress that all of this, I mean, I think essentially already contains in Kissen's paper, except that we can prove this this closed condition, as a closed subspace condition, we can prove this for general affinity subdomain. Everything else, I think, somehow already in his paper. All right. So, So this is the idea of the proof. Okay. So, then we get some coherent sheaf of the theories. Okay, we want to, the next step is to control the triangulation locus, and in which point we really have the triangulation. First is it is clear that the triangulation locus of this family VC is just the set of X in this curve where this Dirac, this coherent sheaf of theories is locally free of rank one around this point. Locally free of rank one around this point. And furthermore, because I appear is into specialize into the Figar module of this Vx. So it has a specialization map, so Dirac. Okay, the tensor is Kx. So this is just a residue field of, or maybe I should use S here. So this is just means an affinity subdomain contains this point. So this maps to Dirac. Dagger, so Vx, okay? So, and the image of this map generates a rank one saturated submodule. So if your point belongs to the triangulation locus, if and only if the sheaf is locally free of rank one around this point, and the image of the period generates a saturated rank one submodule. That's great. So far, we know that this period forms a sheaf, and we also have this isomorphism in any affinity subdomain, and we want to control the triangulation locus. So we want to study this specialization map. So to do this, we use a theorem of validation machine of A. So they somehow they can control the periods on the level of an infinitesimal, on the infinitesimal level. So namely, if dimension of decrease Vx, so here it just means the representation of Vc on x. So it's a semi-simplification of the representation, a decrease of this representation phi equal to alpha x. Okay, consider this part. If this has dimension less than equal to 1, then for any I which contains mx, which is maximal ideal at the point x, which is of finite colines, so you have that the decrease plus Vf modulo I the phi equal to alpha. So this is a free rank 1, so OS modulo I, sorry, S modulo I module. And furthermore, if S prime is contained in I, sorry, I prime is contained in I, then the contravariant map is surjective. This is their original theorem, and by this theorem, it's clear that if you take the inverse limit of all of this infinitesimal deformation, you somehow get a, you just get a free rank 1 module over the completion at this point. So just take the inverse limit. So here we use, now we go back to Figar module, because this is just infinitesimal deformation, so we can use Bourget's comparison result. For general families, we don't have such comparison results so far. So we just go back to Figar module. So this is just inverse limit of Dirac Dagger, so Vs modulo I, so delta, where I goes O, ideal, which is of finite colines. So this is free of rank 1 or the completion at this point. And furthermore, we know that this module, I mean, subjects maps to Dirac Vx delta x. Okay, because by the way, it's constructed. So somehow you have this good control on the infinitesimal level. So now we want to somehow descend this to the the real family of Figar modules. So to do this, I just use a big commutative diagram, so which is actually a very simple commutative algebra argument. Okay, so okay, the first, okay, I just
a stupid question. So don't you need equality that is equal to 1 in dimension?
Which one is dimension equal to 1?
Your assumption.
Less equal to 1, you're actually equal to 1 just.
Well, it's 0,
then 1. I mean, actually, okay. Actually, by what I have proved, we already know that this is, I think, if you don't have this, this is, I think, at least 1.
Okay, so it's not theory of dilation of Vienna,
which is. You cannot have 0, actually, yes. Yes, this just means if equal to 1, yeah.
Okay.
If you want. Yeah. Right? Joe, am I right? Okay. But I just copied their original. I mean. Okay. So I think I need a community diagram. I hope this space is enough. On this hand side, we have the dagger Vs. delta. Okay? So this, by definition, this maps to the inverse, this inverse limit. This inverse limit. Okay. But because this is OX hat module, so you can just tensor can base to base change to OX hat. Sorry, I should use small x, little x. Okay? And because this is isomorphic to this D diff guy, so this plus N ES module T to the K, I'll take a gamma invariance. And the base change to OX hat. Okay, this is isomorphism. It just base changes origin isomorphism to the completion. Okay, and this is equal to the diff plus N ES the DK. You can first base change to the completion. Now take gamma invariance because this is flight over S. And here then use the key fact that this is a coherent module. This is a coherent module. Okay? So you have coherent module, the base change to the completion of the base ring equal to the completion of the module. So this is isomorphic. I think I should have. So this is just equal to the inverse limit of OI. Okay, so DDF. N, ES modulo I, T to the K, for gamma invariance. I'm sorry, this is kind of a little bit lengthy. But okay, I have this isomorphism. I have a natural map from here to here. Yeah, by definition. So here we use the functorality of the DT functor. Okay, then you have this diagram, then so everything just follows very easy because you know that this map to here is an isomorphism. So you get that this is actually a direct summon of this module. But this module is free of rank one. So you either have this isomorphism of zero, but this cannot be zero. I mean, so okay, so this implies that. So under that condition, so just under this condition, so you have the Dirac Dagger VS delta. Your base change to the completion is isomorphic to the inverse limit of this Dirac Dagger VS modulo I. Okay, and both hands are just free rank one OX hat module. Okay, then you are done. So in this case, you imply that the specialization map is an isomorphism. Okay. Okay, so this is finished. All the technical part of this work. So you have this. So by this part, you can actually just give you an explicit control of this triangulation locus. Okay, I'll just write down the result. one thing I want to say is that the result of validation machine of A. So they use some formal argument of descent and also Kissin's original result to prove that their theorem. And what I have proved so far, I mean, just before this, specialization map is already enough to cover Kissin's original result, so there's no logical dependence on Kissin's original work. But our strategy just largely inspired by his work. Okay, I think I can write down the the description of the triangulation locus. So I think for any x in this curve C, so first have this pair is locally free of rank 1 around x. Unless this decrease has dimension 2. So unless this condition holds. But I think conjecturally there shouldn't be such a point, is it? Conjecturally, you don't have a point which has the OP eigenvalue as a conjecturally null, right? Oh, yes. No, conjecture no, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if the conjecture is true, then actually get a coherent sheaf which is locally free of rank 1, just over the whole eigen curve. And furthermore, so if x is not of this form, then x belongs to, doesn't belong to, okay, sorry. To the triangulation locus if and only if, so there are two separate conditions. First, you have so x is a form of weight k, of integral weight k at least 2. Integral weight is of integral weight k, which is at least 2, and also the periodic evaluation for the UP eigenvalue is bigger than k minus 1. Okay, the Hodge-Tater weight is 0 and k minus 1, and this one is bigger than the biggest Hodge-Tater weight. So in this case, this is non-classical point. So you have actually Vx is Hodge-Tate, non-Durham, and I think irreducible. Okay, so this is the first condition. So, case is x irreducible, so actually split. So I think the second case is so x is a critical module form, so critical. So I think there are several critical, I mean, definition of critical for module forms. I'm not expert, but I think this critical just means the worst one. Okay, critical. And in this case, for Vx, it just isomorphic to, I mean, just locally, I mean, restrict on the GQP representation. So this is isomorphic to two characters, the sum of two characters. So this one is, I think, Hodge-Tate. Sorry, GD. hot state of which one. Has hot state weight 1, sorry, weight 0, okay? So this one is, has hot state weight k minus 1. Again, the weight is integral because this is a classical point. So in this case, the Vx is irreducible. So just two cases. If this is irreducible, then it's non-classical. If it is classical, it's reducible. So only two cases. So except all of these points, you have a global triangulation. Okay, so I think I still have 10 minutes, so I can maybe just sketch some maybe potential applications in my mind. Yes.
So then doesn't that say that it comes from a classical
or modular
form?
Yeah, but there's no such modular form. That's conjecture, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, the decrease
would not
even be admissible, right?
Well, but the k, maybe just you have weight 0.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you see that? You have weight 0. It's possible you have a weakly admissible module, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weight 0.
Yeah. I cannot include this case. Okay, so this, so for this part is some very, very rough things because I haven't read on anything about this. So, I think we all know that actually the most interesting part for this eigencurve or more general eigenvariety is the part where you don't have a triangulation. So the complement of the triangulation locus is the most interesting part of the eigenvariety. Okay, so now we can consider, for example, this point x critical, say, so x critical. And in this case, there's a sheaf. Okay, so you have the specialization map to this. X. So actually, the Rankine submodule generated by this map is not saturated. So the Rankine submodule. Generated by the image. Is I think just t to the k minus 1, so Dirac v1, and 0. Yeah, because your whole representation is direct sum of two characters. Okay, so the Dirac of vx just direct sum of two pika modules, and the image of this, Rankine submodule generated by the image is just of this form. Okay, so this is a non-saturated Rankine submodule. So you can divide t to the k minus 1, you got the right saturated one. And then actually, you can also do this on this family. So you consider the subspace of this eigencurve where t to the k minus 1 divide this period. Okay, so maybe I should write it down. So actually, if you do that, you get some finite scheme. For this, I mean a spectrum of some finite vector space over the Lorentz field, the spectrum of some Artin algebra. Okay, so consider a subspace, which I call Rx, where t to the k minus 1 divided this period. Okay, now on this part, you can divide the P to the K minus 1 and really get global triangulation on this subspace. Okay, and this subspace, I mean, what is Rx? So it's not hard to see. Rx is just equal to the actually local, reducible locus of Vx. Okay, so the local reducible locus, this is first introduced by, I think, Balayesh and Chinavier, as I know. What's that with X? X is critical point.
Well, you define something, you just make that on X, you call it Rx or
microphone. Oh, this depends on X. Oh, maybe I just, okay. Yeah, I mean, there maybe you have some surprises. Maybe this is not, you just will have many components. For this, I don't know. You just consider the part which around X. You may just choose a phenol subdomain contain this X, then consider the subspace in this phenol subdomain. You can find a phenol subdomain which only has just one point which is not in the triangulation locus. So you can isolate it to the case. Yeah, maybe that's weak.
Or maybe one, like, in a top line, it should be like jump up at X, something like that?
Where? This one? Here?
Yeah, I think that's what the question is. Where
is the fiber? Yeah. I don't have. Yes.
You
do the number, but actually you the result of that is in the fiber. I mean, yeah. You just do it in the arbitrary small neighborhood. You got the same thing. Always got the same thing. If you shrink the neighborhood, small enough. That's the point. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So this is actually the local reducible locus of Vx, and I think people know that this local reducible locus is actually equal to the fiber. So if you map this X to the weight space and take the fiber, okay, people know that R is equal to the fiber. I think it is proved by Balayesh or maybe his students. Okay. Now what I want to say is that using this, I just talked to Liang Xiao, and he said he may have some other way to prove this, just using this global triangulation stuff. And what I want to say is that using this global triangulation, you can somehow study the geometry of eigencurve directly without using anything. Okay, and this itself is not useful for any purpose, but it's somehow in between the Galois representation and the PLL function. So we can somehow relate to the two sides if we use this. And you also have the higher dimensional phenomena. So you can see there, we can prove that. I didn't write it down, but I can prove that you have global triangulation on a scheme, a dense, directly dense subset of the higher dimensional eigenfamilies. And for the points which is not in the triangulation locus, you can also consider this kind of the subspace. This subspace is actually the maximum subspace where you may have, continuing this point, where you may have the global triangulation. And this subspace is actually, for the points considered by Balayesh and Chinavey, it's very easy to prove that this is just the local reducible locus. And I hope that this may help you to understand the geometric nature of this local reducible locus. Okay, I think I should stop here. Okay, yeah, thank you. Oh, maybe, sorry, one thing I want to say that some similar result is also obtained independently by Kandelaya, Pohas, Xiao, and also by Jürgen Hellman. But I don't know exactly what they have, but I think at least a part of this and also her analog is obtained by them using different methods. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, so suppose first I need a family of representation, not a pseudo representation. Okay. Yeah, suppose you have this, then you can also have a global triangulation because you have the parameter, right? So you have the global triangulation on a scheme directly dense subset, parameterized and based the parameters just given by this refined family. Okay? And also you can determine a large class of points. Just basically the point you think it should be in the strangulation locus, it belongs to the strangulation locus. Yeah, I think you basically can prove this. And for the points, for example, the anti-ordinary points, I think considered in your paper, I think it's easy to prove that the local reducible locus just equal to the space I consider here, I just means the maximal subspace where you really have this global triangulation. You can kill the torsion, T to the K power, then you can get global triangulation. Yeah. So somehow just an interpretation of your reducible locus in this context. I hope this may help you to find the geometric meaning, which is raised through in your paper, I think, this problem. Yeah. Okay.